You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the weekly podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is our magical boy story, part 9, 3 a.m, clearing the air. "So," said Deck, much later, "it's because I'm friends with the band, right?" Viola went very still. "Excuse me?" "Don't worry, I'm used to it. You know, the fake geek girl groupie thing. It's surprisingly effective on bookish girls. Once they figure out Sage isn't straight and Hol is genuinely not that geeky, and Juniper doesn't do casual, they zero in on their friends." She was naked and wrapped in a drop sheet that, now she came to look at it closely, was spattered with paint. She was already far outside her comfort zone, but this presumption was so outrageous that she couldn't even respond for several seconds. As she worked herself up to burning fury, she realised that Deck was shaking with laughter. "You," was all she managed to sputter. "Sorry," thought it would break the ice. "Pretty sure we did that 15 minutes ago," she said, without her usual sharpness. The sex had been very good. "True," he said, nudging her shoulder with his chin. "But I have a short window here to make an impression on you before you lose my number and never speak to me again. So you thought terrible jokes would do it? I tried to be all sexy and aloof last time. You didn't call." She sat up, wrapping the sheet around her. If that removed some of the cover from him, well, he was the one treating this like an audition. "Don't take it personally. I don't repeat myself." Deck spread his hands wide. "And yet, I fought 4 trolls earlier. I'm treating this as a night of exceptions." She eyed his bare chest. "And I can't lose your number. I don't have it." He waggled his eyebrows. "Want me to paint it somewhere?" A chime blared, making Viola wince. Deck rolled over, and just like that, they weren't flirting anymore. "Damn, flatmate drama. I gotta go." "Go where?" Viola asked, searching for her knickers. "Not far." The party, if it could still be called that, had taken to the lawn behind the magical pixie dream house. Some asshole in a drop-dead gorgeous designer suit was yelling at Sage and Chauvelin, who had him cornered away from the house. Hebe and a couple of other women from the party crowded around her twin sister, and it was clear from their own contribution to the yelling that they were just as invested in giving the bloke a hard time. Jules was there, sullen and dishevelled. His shirt had been buttoned in a hurry, and his hair product had dissolved into the night. Viola, who had reluctantly accepted a flannel shirt from Deck to throw over her little black dress, went to Jules immediately and rebuttoned his shirt. Even on a night of exceptions, one had to have standards. Deck went to join the manly group of male protectors, adding his voice to their neighbours' future noise complaints. "Interesting look for you," Jules said slyly. "Shut up," said Viola, tweaking his collar. "We're going home now. This is not our bullshit." There was less shouting now, but plenty of angry gesticulating. Hebe left her sister's side and came over, looking tense. "Holly's ex is making trouble. I really wish she'd start dating girls again. She has the worst taste in men." Viola nodded, like she was interested. "Which one's Holly again?" Hebe looked dazed. "She's the famous one? Everyone on campus knows who Holly is." Viola shrugged. "Sure. But was she on the honour roll for Unreal Literature last year? Was her paper on gendered interpretations of Charlotte Bronte published in The Bell and on a Siren? I don't think so." Hebe's mouth fell open. "Did you stalk me?" Stalk was such a harsh word. "I researched you," Viola corrected. "I like to know about people, especially people who date my friends. You could have been anyone." Hebe stared at her for a moment. "Okay, you two, come with me." She raised her voice slightly. "Third, I need you." Viola would give Hebe this, She had Chauvelin better trained than any of his previous girlfriends. He left Sage and Deck to deal with the train wreck X and came trotting over. What's up? Inside, said Hebe. She led the three of them into the ground floor flat, which was some kind of shrine to Fake Geek Girl, including band posters, an open box of T-shirts, and flyers for the next gig. Bedroom. Oh, but this is so sudden, drawled Jules. With surprising grit, Hebe escorted them into a tidy floral bedroom that featured no Fake Geek Girl memorabilia whatsoever. She then marched out and slammed the door behind her. The familiar hum of a locking charm sounded in Viola's ears, along with something else, a background magical resonance that had been buzzing at her ever since she walked into this flat. Oh, come on, Chauvelin groaned. Hebe, no. Hebe, yes. You miss your friends. Sort it out, Ferd, she said through the door. You realise I have two of the most talented magical students in Belladonna U's history in here with me, he growled at the door. I love you, but your locking charms are rubbish. There was a moment of silence. You love me? Hebe said, through the door, in a very small voice. Well, this was awkward. Chauve looked like someone had walloped him over the head with an anvil. He said. No, said Hebe, with greater determination. We'll talk about that later. Viola and Jules might be perfectly able to break my locking charm, but I'm pretty sure they want to have this out with you. She's got that right, said Jules. Viola arched an eyebrow. Come on, really? Said Chauve, looking betrayed. He turned back to the door. Hebe, you and your friends have to learn that you can't solve all your problems by locking people in rooms. Watch me, said Hebe. I love you too, Ferd. I do. But I am not going to the opera with you, and everyone who lives in this house is scared of your mother. You need your old friends back in your life, too. Talk to each other instead of yelling and avoiding. I'll be back in half an hour. Chauve listened to his girlfriend walk away, then turned around. Let us out. Viola crossed her arms. No. Are you really going to use my lack of magic against me here? He demanded. Jules draped himself on Hebe's bed. Hey, first rule of friendship, don't piss off the new significant other. Oh, sure, you're on her side now, said Chauve. That buzzing was still in Viola's ear. Something in this room was reacting against her magic, something cold but not like Jules's familiar frost and ice, another more intrusive magic. She ran her eye over Hebe's wardrobe and the clothes hanging there. Why did you even hang around this late? Chauve complained, then did a double take. OMG. Did you just say OMG aloud? Viola snarked. These people are having a terrible effect on you. You've gone whimsical. You both got laid tonight, Chauve accused. Viola and Jules glanced at each other. Yeah, the signs were pretty obvious. Jules looked more relaxed than he had in weeks, and there was no coming back from whatever Sage McLaren had done to his hair. That's not relevant, said Viola. You're being a dickhead, shutting us out of your life. Why couldn't you just tell us to leave the magic thing alone? We're not complete bitches. Not all the time, Jules agreed. It was hard to come to terms with what happened, Chauvelin admitted. The hardest thing I've ever done. I needed to not be around you or anyone else from my old life. The stabs kept coming. And is that a forever thing? Viola asked. Because that is unacceptable to me. I don't know. Can we at least check in with you on a bi-monthly basis to see if you're ready to let us back in? Chauve's mouth twitched. Is there a form for that? I am willing to design one. Vale's presenting a paper at the conference on Monday, Jules said, unexpectedly. It's a big fucking deal. Want to come and hang out and make fun of her afterwards? Chauvelin looked desperately uncomfortable. I can't. That's right in the middle of the College of the Real Nightshade. I haven't been back there in a long time. I don't think I can. It's fine, Viola said. It doesn't matter. What about lunch, weekly, neutral territory, you, me, Jules? occasionally with girlfriend. She isn't terrible. Wow, said Jules. Do you know how long it's been since she deemed one of my partners as not terrible? Take the lunch, Chauve. Viola whirled around and pointed at him. You. Your choices are terrible. We'll be discussing drama-related hookups later in this meeting. We're going to need a separate meeting for that because I have so many details to share, said Jules, with a wicked grin. My flatmate, Jules, Chauve Land whined. Really? Viola pasted an innocent expression on her face. Weekly lunch, Chauve agreed. And Friday nights? Viola's face fell. No. Oh, come on, Vale, Jules encouraged. Music, drinking, dancing. Dancing to that band every single week. No. Friday nights once a month. And you don't have to arrive until the second set. Boys were horrible. But I hate their music so much, Viola complained. Seriously, where is that buzz coming from? Where is what buzz coming from? Chauve asked. It wasn't in this room after all. Viola broke Hebe's locking charm like it was made of spaghetti and went on the rampage. It's in there. That's Holly's room, Chauve called behind her. So, privacy issues? Viola pushed the door open. Which one's Holly again? The famous one, her boys chorused. She found it on the bedside table, along with a set of keys, pens and small change. A necklace, flat and silver, giving off that buzz of residual magic. Ugh, said Viola. Nasty, cheap little trinket. Chauvelin, come here and hold this for a second. To his credit, he followed her instructions exactly, his large hand folding around the delicate chain, even as he complained about it. You can buy null cases in packs of 10. I don't appreciate being treated like a piece of lab equipment. Hush, said Viola, and turned the necklace over with the end of a pen, running a swift diagnosis charm over it. So, Holly Hallow, the famous one. Her ex-boyfriend's a troll. Not a shock, Chauve agreed. The last one was something big in the music industry, I think. Complete dick. This one's even worse. Sure, whatever, said Viola. This necklace is part of a summoning charm that has been luring trolls into the city over the last few days. That's, said Chauve, and stopped. Holly has exceptionally bad taste in men. Bring that, Viola snapped. We need to talk to Sage. I'm ending this. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at SheepMightFly and at TansyRR, at patreon.com/musketeerspace, and on my new author Facebook account, TansyRR Books. See you next week.